Hello and welcome to Covenant Grove's daily audio devotionals. In this series, we will be reading, dissecting, and discussing about the books of the pastoral letters, which include 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus. According to church tradition, these letters were from Paul, which was sent to both Timothy and Titus, who were both at one time or another partners in the Apostle Paul's early ministries before the writings of these letters. Timothy was an appointed leader by Paul to the church in Ephesus, which was a major city in the Roman province of Asia, now known as the country of Turkey. Titus, who was also established by Paul, acted as an administrator over a network of churches on the island of Crete. One of these major ideas that Paul continuously wrote letters about was that spiritual maturity was more important than natural age, especially in the case with Timothy. Timothy, according to the letters, was considered to be a fairly young leader according to the more traditional ages of the clergy from the first generation church. A lot of the early leaders of the church were the disciples of Jesus, which some scholars estimated they would have been in their mid-40s to possibly late 60s during the ministry of St. Paul. Some scholars and historians theorize that Timothy would have been in his late teens and early 20s, and even some historians have estimated his age could have been in his late 20s, early 30s towards the end of Paul's ministry and his subsequent martyrdom. Also, Paul encouraged Timothy and Titus to have sound doctrine and be diligent and watch out for false teachers. Both the biblical texts of the New Testament and historical scholarly research indicate that Paul likely warned them about the false doctrines of the Judaizers and proponents of early Gnostic belief. The Judaizers insisted that Gentile converts must first become Jewish and observe all Jewish customs, particularly circumcision. In contrast, major Gnostic teachings featured intricate polytheistic divine genealogies and emphasized secret knowledge as the path to salvation, not faith in Jesus. After all of the interesting facts learned, let us move on by opening our Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Today's reading begins at verse 1, and we'll be ending this section of these scriptures on verse 8. Now, let's start in verse 1. As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed and have nothing bad to say about us. Once again, that was verses 1 through 8 in the second chapter of Titus, which was read from the New Living Translation. Let's discuss and explore the verses in Titus we just went over a little more in depth. Self-control is essential to the Christian life. It is a fruit of the Spirit and product of humility. Self-control begins by understanding that much of what we want is misguided and needs correction. Scripture consistently emphasizes the importance of self-control, reminding us that unchecked words, indulgence in food or drink, and pursuit of every want can lead to ruin, damaging our lives, relationships, and finances. Titus was instructed to model a life of wholesome teaching. Paul wrote to Titus in this chapter in verses 7 through 8, applying God's truth to every relationship. There is a deeper problem in us. It is not just that we do the wrong things, we want the wrong things. Our wills, our desires, are misguided and even corrupted. Following Jesus means you start down the path of self-control, allowing him to put to death your corrupt will and replacing it with a heart that beats for what is true and good. We first learn this from the book Ezekiel chapter 36 verses 26 through 27, and then Paul expands upon this idea in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. As time goes on, after much self-discipline and obeying your Savior, your desires are transformed, and you want what God wants, even if it means suffering. Our desires must always be held up to God's word, godly counsel, and prayer. God is working in you, working to kill the cancer of sin that is working to kill you. Surrender to Him and live a life of self-control. And now here are some thoughts to meditate on during your personal prayer time and for the rest of your day. If God loves us, why doesn't He give us everything we want? How would you answer someone who said that, quote, all human desires are good as long as they don't hurt someone, end quote? Why is self-control important for spiritual growth? Before ending this episode, our devotional team would like you to know that we're so grateful that you joined us. We hope this was a great encouragement to all our listeners out there, as much as it was a blessing for us to share it with all of you. If you would like to continue with us for more enriching insights, discussions, and soul-searching introspections within our devotional series of the Sacred Biblical Writings, then follow to get updates for new weekly devotionals. You can find us on these platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and our website, which is covenantgrove.org/devotionals. And as well, new episodes are uploaded every Monday through Friday. And in conclusion, as you go on with the rest of your day, may you be blessed in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.